Good morning, everyone. It's Pastor Jeremiah. I just want to welcome you to our online service this morning. Thanks for joining us and tuning in as we continue our Because I Said So sermon series. From the beginning of this series, I had mentioned that I wanted to do it because I wanted to talk about this uncomfortable relationship that we have with the authority of God's word. I think we live in a day and an age where that increasingly is something that we just don't take for granted. You know, it's kind of a prove it to me first. And sometimes that's not always a healthy way to go about it. Sometimes we need to come before God's word, trust it first, sit under the authority of God's word, and then seek to understand it. And it's from that relationship of trust and faith that revelation really flows. And all of a sudden, as we are living according to the things that God has set out for us, things really begin to make sense. And it's in the living it, in the trusting it, that the power really happens. And so I wanted to take this series to talk about the Ten Commandments. I wanted to choose the Ten Commandments because, well, they're a great kind of building block for the things that God has called us to do. And then in addition to that, a lot of these commandments have been in a lot of ways disregarded by our culture. And so it's something we have to kind of come back to and say, okay, well, is this truth? Is this this way that God is calling us to live, something that's relevant for our lives today in the 21st century? So we're going to take a look today at the fourth commandment. And as I'd mentioned last week, the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The remaining six have to do with our relationships with others. And so this is the final commandment having to do with our relationship with God that we're going to take a look at. And it's Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. And it's the commandment on the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So I want to share a message with you this morning that I'm just calling Sabbath rest, because we live in a culture that is, I would say, deprived of rest, not deprived of sleep necessarily, but deprived of rest in that sense of stillness, rest in that sense of contemplation. And so we place a lot of demands on ourselves through work schedules and social calendars, information overload. It's far beyond what human beings have ever experienced up to this point in time in human history. And so many of us, we spend our days, we feel fatigued, we feel exhausted. Again, not necessarily physically speaking, but certainly mentally, emotionally. And that takes a toll on us. It depletes, we live in this depleted state. It leaves us vulnerable to all sorts of negative side effects. And those side effects include things like anxiety, depression. Anxiety is on the rise. Depression is on the rise. Stress is on the rise. I would argue as well, confusion. I think confusion's on the rise. It's more a subjective thing to throw out there, but nevertheless, I think it's true. I think it leaves us emotionally numb, amongst other things. We're emotionally numb because we're overwhelmed by all these stresses and anxieties and pressures. And there was an interesting, you know, byproduct that came out of the pandemic. And the one positive thing that came out of it was our social calendars kind of shut down. All of a sudden, all of our obligations, even a lot of our work obligations and different things that we would do on a normal basis, all that activity, frenetic activity, kind of ceased in one moment. And it was this moment we had to kind of take a step back and look at the way we've been living life and reflect on it a little bit. And it was a moment, but I think unfortunately, most of the studies show that anxiety only rose and stress rose and depression, all those things increased over the pandemic. And I think that the reason for that is, even though we had this time to spend in contemplation, this time to kind of cease a lot of the activity that we were going through, in addition to that, I think what we did is we filled it with Netflix binging and doom scrolling social media and all sorts of other activities that weren't necessarily conducive to that reflective, contemplative opportunity that we could have had in order to deal with some of the frenetic activity in our lives. And so we got hooked on, you know, things. People got hooked on QAnon, or they got wrapped up in social cause issues like Black Lives Matter or vaccine mandates or politics. We're very passionate in that particular point in time. And in the end, we didn't fill that new time afforded us with the right things. We filled it with a lot more things that just stressed us out, raised our anxiety levels and depression levels. So what do we need? What is the solution to all of this? I think we can all agree that what we need is we need more clarity. We need to experience peace. We need to be more present in our lives, more present with the people that we love. And we need to free ourselves from distractions. We have a hard time focusing. We're so in between projects and ideas, and we have a difficult time focusing on one thing. And how do we come about these things? How do we gain clarity? How do we gain peace? How do we be more present in the moment? How do we keep ourselves from being distracted? Well, I think what we need is rest. And I want to suggest that we come about these things, these positive things that I've just mentioned, through rest. And here's an illustration I'll use for you. I don't wear eyeglasses, but I know many people who do. I've experienced wearing sunglasses, so I have a similar experience with it. But if you wear eyeglasses, let's say, and your glasses, you look through those glasses. You're not really aware of the lens because it's just enabling you to see the world the way that an eye would. However, sometimes your glasses will get blurry. There might be a smudge on them. They might have fogged over. There's multiple reasons why that may have happened. And in order to take a look at that or assess what's going on, you typically will have to remove the glasses from your face and look at them. Now you're not looking through the glasses anymore. You're not looking through the lenses. You're looking at them. And you're determining if there's a smudge, right? If there's some sort of fogginess over the lenses, so that you can clean it off, right, and put them back on, and you put them back on, and you can see through them again, right? Or maybe you see that, oh, there's a little bit more smudge, and so you got to get more of it off. You take it off, you look at it, and you fix the smudge, or you wipe it away. And what you're doing in this example is essentially what contemplation is. We have to take time out of living our life and get away from it, get some distance from it, so to speak, so that we can look at it from another perspective. You know, because when we're living it, it's like looking through the glasses, right? But when we're in this more contemplative state, we're looking at it. We're looking at it, we can analyze it in a different kind of way. Why? Because it's almost impossible to see what's going on when we are running around living our lives. We're focused on the doing, not those more strategic and existential questions that we might ask of ourselves, like, why am I doing what I am doing? I'm doing things that I don't care about in order to impress people that I don't even like, is the epiphany that many people have in moments like that. And this is what I believe the purpose of the Sabbath is. We are ceasing our work, our busyness, and our frenetic activity, and we are given the opportunity to see things from a fresh perspective. And that is crucial if we want to live lives of meaning, lives of purpose, lives to the full. In the Hebrew language, the word rest is Shabbat. It's where we get that word Sabbath. And you'll remember from the story of Genesis, God creates the world in 6 days of work, and on the seventh day, he rested. And this is what Moses was speaking of when he gave this fourth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 8. God rested from his creative work. Now, God's energy was without limit. So why did God need to rest would be a question that I would have. And it's a great question to contemplate. The significance of this, I think, is huge because God wanted to model for us and show us what life in its fullest sense looks like for us. Remember, he rests, and he rests because he's modeling for us how to live our lives. We were created in the image of God. And so we reflect who God is. And if God is resting and needing to take some time to observe and to enjoy what it is that he has made, then certainly you and I would benefit from the same kind of activity, the same kind of discipline and rhythm in our lives. And so even God looks back upon his creation, takes time to contemplate his work. And of course, what does he say in Genesis? As a result of the 6 days of creation, he says, it's good. It is good. He takes time to assess the nature of his work. Now, this idea of Sabbath rest isn't really revisited until the time of Moses, until this Exodus passage, thousands of years of human history later. And God's people have been enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. They're slaves. There's no days off. It's just day after day of making bricks for Pharaoh and the slave masters. It's straw, it's dirt, it's water. Mix those things together, bake, repeat, right? Day after day after day. And God makes it a point to have Moses request of the Pharaoh that his people could go into the wilderness to have a day to celebrate their God. And this is the first sense that we get that God is wanting them to have a break from their ceaseless activity. And of course, Pharaoh denies the request. And God ultimately delivers his people from their enslavement in Egypt. And then he prescribes for them a kind of work-life balance. 6 days you work, and then on the seventh day, you have a Sabbath day of rest. It's a day to rest, a day to breathe, a day just to sit back and assess the nature of your life and worship me. Now, what are the elements of Sabbath? Well, the word Sabbath essentially means rest. So I want to take the English word rest, use an acronym to talk about the different components of Sabbath. And so we'll do R-E-S-T. The first word R is for recreation. Sabbath is about recreation. A few years ago in 2019, I took a sabbatical, a two-month sabbatical away from church work life. And I prescribed myself 70% of the time to be about rest, 30% of the time to be about work. And that seems antithetical to the idea of a sabbatical. And yet, you know, sometimes you need to do some work, right, in order to prepare yourself for when you get back. And so that was a prescription that was based on some wise counsel that I had received, and it worked out very well for me. But one of the greatest struggles that I was having up until that point in time was in creating. I was struggling to create. You know, I felt burned out. I felt like I just had no creative elements within me any longer. I was having a difficult time creating content, writing new sermons, coming up with ideas for leadership at the church. And so I desperately needed a Sabbath. And I found myself digging up old ideas from old sermons I'd done or borrowing ideas from other people, which is fine, right? That has a time and a place in the life of every creator. But we were created to create. And I started to notice myself in particular that I was disappointed because I wasn't able to create. My work wasn't rewarding because it wasn't mine, right? It wasn't fresh. And so we were created in the image of a creator. God fashioned us to fashion things, right? He made us beautiful. He made us capable of shining in this world. He made you to make and to build. He formed you to form and to mold. And this is what we've been called to do. This is what we've been created to do. In that sense, work is good. God designed us in order to function in a way that work is rewarding and satisfying. However, when we are consumed by our tasks that constitute work and our lists and our schedules, and we find ourselves barely treading water, just surviving in the world, there's no time and space to be creative. We struggle with the creative in those kind of environments. And so we starve ourselves of that space that we need to be free and to explore new things and to innovate because we're constantly dealing with deadlines and we're pressed for time and our thoughts are just having a difficult time focusing on the things at hand. And so we choke out our creativity. And recreation is so important. You know, having time to enjoy life, having time to do things that you enjoy, and time and space just kind of breathe and not be on a particular schedule, right? That kind of recreation is so good for us. It refreshes us, it re-energizes us in our creative efforts. And so we call it recreation. And literally that word re-create is put together. We can re-create our capacity for creative work, right? That's what recreation does, right? It re-energizes us in that process of coming back to a place of being full of creative ideas and energy. So recreation is that first aspect of Sabbath rest. We need it. We need to just take some time to engage ourselves in our hobbies and to spend time with people whom we enjoy and do things that constitute that fun and that activity that just no pressure on us. We could just be and enjoy. That's such an important aspect of life. Secondly, a second letter in the acronym REST is E, empty yourself. Empty yourself. One of the greatest gifts I was given on that same sabbatical was the feeling of being expendable. I know it doesn't sound like a great feeling. That sounds terrible on the surface, but it's equally wonderful. It's wonderful to recognize that you are not essential towards the world turning on its axis, right? Life goes on without you. I know my siblings growing up reminded me that I wasn't the center of the universe. And it's important to remind ourselves of that every now and again, because we have this natural tendency towards selfishness and that can lead to narcissism, right? And we become narcissistic, like the world revolves around us. And all of a sudden, you know, we just think of ourselves more important than we are. There's this great quote from Abraham Maslow that goes like this: we are simultaneously gods and worms. And it's so true. What a contrast, right? There are moments in my life, moments when I taste success, when I complete a challenge, when I accomplish a goal, when I answer an impossible question, like my sixth grader's algebra question or something like that, and I'm on cloud nine, right? I feel unstoppable. I feel like a hero, a genius, a diamond in the rough. And then there are those back-to-earth moments. I think that for me, at least, those moments often are Monday morning, right? Monday morning. And those moments when you realize that 100 years from now, no one will know who you are or what you accomplished, nor will they care. Everyone that you now know will be dead, and life will go on without you. That's a sobering thought, right? That's not necessarily one of those kind of cheer me up kind of moments. And it sounds terrible. It sounds sobering, but it can be freedom. It can be freedom. Your goals, your ambitions, everything you could be and what you could become and accomplish is really not that big of a deal. The world would get along without you. Don't take yourself so seriously that everything is built upon whether or not you will achieve your lifelong goals and ambitions and dreams. Because life is not about you. Life is lived before God. It was never all about you in the first place. And the sooner that you and I realize that, the better, the better. All of a sudden, we can reorient ourselves to say, God, what is it you want of me in the world? What are your purposes? What are your plans for me? I want to fulfill those and be satisfied in the things that you've laid out before me. And so the second thing is simply that: empty yourself. The third letter, S, is set priorities. Set priorities. If you don't regularly sit down and think about the things that are most important to you in life, those things that are of the highest priority or ought to be the highest priority in your life, you will allow others, you will allow life itself to dictate those things for you. And so what we don't want is we don't want the urgent to crowd out what is most important, you know, especially what is urgent to others. We don't want that to crowd out what is most important to us. other people's emergencies are their own emergencies, and we would do good to remember that. You are not required to save the day at all times. This is an important thing for us to realize as parents, right? Especially in this generation of helicopter parents, right? We're not there to save the day for our kids every single time a situation arises. You have to learn to set limits because no one is going to gauge whether or not you are at your limits. And so if your boss presents you with another opportunity for yet another project, and yet your plate is full already, your boss isn't going to set limits for you, isn't going to set boundaries for you. You've got to set those boundaries. You've got to say, hey, you know what? My plate is full. I'm at my limit, right? And negotiate that, right, with your boss and with others in your life. Your kids aren't going to realize that you're emotionally tapped out, right? You've got to set those boundaries. You got to set those limits in that relationship in order to function properly. Now, here's how I do this. And I started this actually just a few years ago. I took two particular times of the year, typically in January, where I start the year out, and then in mid-year, June, July, somewhere around there. And I would take several categories of my life, and then I would grade myself on how I was doing in that particular category. And here's the categories, and I'll put them in the notes for this message. But the faith life was one. Okay, you could write these down if you want as well. Faith life, I would grade myself. How am I doing in my faith? Marriage life or relational life, if you're not married, you might want to focus on that. Family life, your relationship with your family. Financial life, how am I doing financially speaking, budgets and goals and all those kinds of things. Work life, this was several years ago that I put this in place, so I called it computer life, but that might be more screen time life. How much screen time am I setting limits for those kinds of things? Ministry life. I'm a pastor, and of course, it's a big aspect of what I do, but we all have been called to a certain level of ministry in our lives, caring for people that God has placed in our lives. Our physical life, exercise, health, eating habits, all those things. And social life. That's closely linked with relationships, but for me, it's one of the areas of struggle for me, is making sure that I'm taking time out for my relationships. And so I would take these things and I would just give myself a grade. I would say, okay, I'm a B plus in my financial life right now, or I'm an A in my physical life because I'm working out and I'm eating right, but I'm kind of a C in my social life. I haven't really made that a priority for myself in this season. So I grade myself and then I ask myself the question, how can I improve this grade in the upcoming weeks? What new habits do I need to put in place? What things can I schedule and set priorities for those things right now in order to bring that grade up from a C where it's at now to an A where I want it to be? And it's this powerful exercise and something you could do, again, maybe bi-yearly, maybe you want to do it like four times a year on a regular basis just to assess where you are at and make sure that you are taking time to set your priorities. That third letter in this acronym we're working with, REST. Now the final letter is T, and I chose the word teachability. In regards to Sabbath rest, we need to be mindful of how important it is that we are teachable. Because when we're taking time to contemplate our lives, we need correction, right? When I'm grading myself on all these particular areas, I'm doing so with a critical eye. I want to assess, okay, where am I unhealthy? You know, where have I got it wrong, right? I'm giving myself the freedom to kind of humble myself and say, okay, I don't have it all right. There are areas of improvement in my life, and I can receive that from myself a lot easier than I can from others. But sometimes others are the ones that have the ability to see it better than I can. They have an even further out perspective, so to speak, in which to investigate and to analyze my life and how I'm doing. So teachability is critical. Now, my wife and I just started the 8 Dates group. We're doing it with a number of couples here at the church. It's a book by John Gottman on marriage. And it really evolves around 8 different dates, creative dates, where you ask each other a number of questions on some crucial subjects for marriage relationships. And one of the greatest blessings to come out of this is this intentional check-in with your spouse once a week. And for me, it's incredibly helpful to hear my wife, Deborah, give me feedback on how she thinks I'm doing and how she thinks our relationship is functioning. And so it's kind of this intensive that we're having in this 8 weeks on our marriage relationship and really reflecting upon how healthy that is. And we want to move it from wherever it is now to a higher grade, right? To a higher level, because there's incredible fulfillment in that marriage relationship. And the biggest hindrance to that is my inability to be teachable in the midst of those conversations, right? I need to humble myself and become teachable, to become a sponge, to soak up what information and what feedback that she would have to give me. Now, I'm like anybody else. I don't like to ask for help, right? I don't like to ask people their opinions on things. I've got it. I'm competent. I'm confident in my abilities. And so I'm an incredibly independent person, like many other people are out there. But I need to humble myself. And I need to confess that I don't always have the right answers. I don't always have what it takes to ascertain what needs to be done in my life. And so I need to be teachable, not only from the insight of others, but most importantly, be teachable before Jesus Christ. Our Savior, Jesus, invites us to learn from Him, and to grow on this very issue of rest. Listen to this passage from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You've probably heard it before. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What can we learn? What can we receive from Jesus as our teacher in regards to rest? Let's consider some of these things as we close this message today. Have you made your relationship with God out to be a burden, a list of to-dos or don'ts, religious activities in your life? Maybe it's time to just rest in the presence of Jesus and let Him remind you of who you are through His eyes. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." The work of forgiving our sins, of restoring us to a relationship with our Heavenly Father, has been accomplished. And so all that is left for you and I is to rest in that reality. Are you burdened with this incessant need to perform and to become and to do? Are you driving yourself hard for success in your career because you've wrapped your identity up in it, in the accomplishing? Or maybe you're trying to prove yourself to somebody or measure up to somebody else's expectations for you. Jesus would say, "It is finished. The heavy lifting is done. You are only working out what I've worked in you. Rest in that." And now we can experience through faith in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, this rest, and we are assured that the most important work in the cosmos has been completed in and through Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit, this indwelling gift that God has given us, that we can connect with God on a 24/7 basis. And it's this privilege that we have to take advantage of that. We've been given all the blessings of God through the indwelling power of His Holy Spirit within us, and we can tap into this flow of God's grace, His power, and His blessing anytime that we like. And that's the power of taking moments of rest. taking moments to cease activity and to contemplate our lives and to focus on our relationship with God. The Sabbath is God's idea for you. It's for you. And Jesus has fulfilled it so that it is the most rewarding, it is the most beneficial thing that you and I can do. Simply take the time. Allow God to form your identity around a relationship with Him. And I guarantee you will see massive, positive results from taking the time to make the Sabbath a priority in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word, God. We thank you that we can come to the things that you teach and instruct us in and be so transformed and challenged, God, to take our lives in the direction that you would have us go and experience that life to the full that you have promised to each and every one of us that take your word to heart. And so, God, I pray that we would come into a more trusting, a confidence in the things that you say. God, that we wouldn't hesitate. God, that we wouldn't question. That we wouldn't hold back. But God, that we would just immerse ourselves in the things that you say, the things that you instruct us in. God, be transformed and changed as a result of taking your word into our life and applying it in all the ways that you have called us to. And so, God, we thank you so much for this time this morning. I just pray that, that this word that we have gone through this morning will continue to bear fruit in the hearts and lives of those who make an application of it this week. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and being a part of this streaming service this week. I do want to encourage you to continue in the habit of giving, giving generously to the work that God is doing through the church. Give at westsidechurch.com/give, also through the Westside Church app or physically in person at Westside Church as well. Well, God bless everyone. So grateful to spend some time with you. We're going to continue next week in these 10 Commandments series, because I said so series. Hope that you'll join us for that. Invite a friend to join you either in person or online. It's a lot better with a friend. So God bless everyone. Have a great week.